Off the ball. Rugby.
Then all we'll never know until we play. We know on the evidence of play well for your province, play well in Europe, play well in the URC, consistently back it up for a couple, four, five, six matches. And then people go, give him a go.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Well, delighted to be joined by the head coach of Bray Wanderers, Paul Heffernan. Paul, we can really start to feel the excitement building for another new season here today at the League of Ireland launch. Like, I suppose you spent most of your career in the UK, a very long and successful career. What have you made of the popularity of the League of Ireland since coming back home?
It was a shock, to be honest, because when I first came back, I went into Cabin Tealy at the time, and I was working with the strikers, basically, and if I'm honest, of course, you follow the League of Ireland, and because I'm local, you follow Bray Wanderers, would have been my local team growing up. But it was an eye-opener when I came back to see probably how it's grown in the last 5 years and how popular it's become. And being involved in the First Division is, you know, there's so many young players, and it's almost like an under-23 league with every club. And it's a funny thing, but you hear every manager after every game in the First Division saying, well, we're a young squad. Well, everybody's young. Everybody's a young squad, and everybody has young players. And I think it's great that these players get a chance to play proper men's football, really, before they go to have careers in England or into Europe or whatever it is. And, you know, even in the club where I am in Bray, the crowd has gone through the roof over the last couple of years. And as you see in the Premier League, with especially the Dublin teams, every game is more or less sold out every week. So, I mean, it's growing and growing, and it's getting bigger and bigger and getting more popular. And it's fantastic for the fans to go and watch. But also when it's on TV on a Friday night, it gets people involved as well. So for me, it's the excitement there with people looking forward to go to games every weekend. It's brilliant.
How have you found the progression? Because did it kind of come out of nowhere, you moving up to head coach at Bray Wanderers? How have you found that progression?
Yeah, so I was in, Ian Ryan was managing at the time, yeah. And I was one of his coaches, and Lorcan Fitzgerald was one of his coaches, and then Ian decided to leave, and decided to move on, and we were kind of in the middle of the season there, so myself and Lorcan looked after it really, and we said ourselves, it's a stopgap until they find somebody else. And then, of course, Lorcan left five games later. He moved on as well. So I was kind of on my own then. And Pat Devlin at the time and Tony Richardson, the chairman. Like, there was literally six games of the season left. And we were in the last playoff spot. So they said, like, will you look after it for the final six games of the season? And at that time, I had no intentions of saying, yeah, I want the job. I said, yeah, I'll look after it for the last few games. We snuck into the playoffs. We ended up going through the playoffs and getting to the final, where Drogheda beat us. And then I'd obviously got a little taste of it then, and I had really enjoyed it. I enjoyed working with the players, making your own decisions and being the main man, basically, when it comes to picking teams and squads and formations. And then they offered me the job and asked me to take it on a full-time basis, which I had to think about. I didn't just dive in and say, yeah, I wanted it. You know, I'm still young and I still had a lot to learn. But, you know, you don't know until you're thrown in there how much you'll enjoy it or how much, you know, success or whatever you'll have. And when I decided to take it and kind of got my own players in last year, really, and got my own staff together with Graham Kelly and Gavin T and Steve McGuinness. And then, you know, the success we had last year with the young players coming through and getting to a playoff final again, it was a bit of a quick transition and not one that I had seen coming, but you know, you kind of just got to dive in there and go for it, and it's worked out okay.
I remember covering the game against Drogheda United in the final. Your team played some really brilliant attacking football.
Yeah.
You're perhaps a little bit unlucky on the day.
Yeah.
But then as last season went on, did you feel you had to maybe temper some of the things you were doing in the previous season or maybe adjust things?
Yeah, we did adjust it. If you go back to that squad that played in the final against Drogheda, there was some excellent players in there and players that we struggled to hold on to because they were very good players. Off the top of my head, Harry Groom, Shane Griffin, Christian Magarusin, you know, all these players. Kieran Cruz, of course, went to Drogheda. So all these players went on after that year and got good moves for themselves to Premier League and the clubs in Europe and stuff like that. So it was kind of a whole new start then last year. We didn't have the finances that other clubs in the First Division had and the players we targeted, other teams just gave them more money and we couldn't compete. So it was almost half by accident that we had to go down the route of, let's give our young players a chance, you know, with the likes of Billy O'Neill, Maurice Knight, Richard Ferrazzi, and these young lads. And again, like I said earlier, you don't know what they're going to do until you put them in the team, and they were outstanding, you know, and we could see that from pre-season when we started playing them. For example, we thought we needed a right winger, you know, this time last year, but after about three games of pre-season, we're going, we don't. We just play Billy O'Neill there. He's ready. And the big thing these players have, and they're all talented players, and there's so many talented players around the country, it's the mindset, it's the toughness of these lads had no problem travelling the country in the first division, going to places like Kerry and Finn Harps and Treaty. And, you know, it's all well and good playing in the Carlisle on a nice AstroTurf when the sun's out, but these lads were, you know, they're mentally strong, and they're ready to go to these places and roll their sleeves up if they need to. And as the season went on, they got better and better. And it wasn't just the young players, you know, we had some good experience with Jimmy Corcoran and Killy Cantwell, Max Murphy to help the younger lads. And, you know, right the way up till probably the fourth round of fixtures, we were right in the mix to try and win the league with Cove and Dundalk. We faded away a little bit in the fourth round of fixtures, but, you know, halfway through that, when we realised we couldn't catch Dundalk, we started resting people up and we were fully focused on the playoffs from them. So, and then we gave the playoffs another good crack. So, you know, last year at the beginning was transitional, but by come halfway through, we knew these players were more than ready to play every week for us.
On episode 2 of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors podcast, the stories behind the transfers that almost happened but just about didn't. Focuses on one of the greatest of all time, Pelé.
Pelé. Baba, back to Pelé. Now what's he going to do? He's got the third! Oh, beautiful goal!
And how the Santos superstar nearly swapped Brazil for Hanover. And how a Nazi ice machine salesman nearly pulled the deal off. Dropping in your OTB football podcast feed this Monday. Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
Absolutely, and again against Waterford, you really put up to a side with, as you mentioned, I remember after the game, with the best goal scorer in the country playing for them. But just you mentioned mindset as well. Like, what is the mindset like now going into this new season, based on that frustration you've had in those last two finals, going so close? Is that something the players will use? And I know, look, you've lost some of those players over the 2 years, but is that something that drives them on, the motivation for this season?
Absolutely. It's one of the first things we said to them after the game in Talca Park against Waterford last year, that we're hurting right now, and you know, it's disappointing, but this is going to fuel you for next year. Whether you're here at Bray, whether you're going on to bigger and better things, wherever you're going, it's the disappointment that helps fuel you, and you use that as motivation in your next job, in your next season. And that's what we've talked about already with the players this year, that, we got to 2 playoff finals the last 2 years, but if we really want to be serious about getting promotion, we got to try and win the league. We got to try and push whoever's up there, whether it's Cork, Cove, whoever else is up there. But to do that, I mean, it's easy for me to sit here and say that the work that's got to be done has got to be better by everybody in the club. The recruitment has got to be better. Us as coaches have to be better. You know, we've brought a strength and conditioning coach in to help with that side of it. And, you know, if and when this club does get promoted, it doesn't want to be just going up and getting a bit of a hiding every week off the top clubs and then coming back down. It wants to be able to sustain itself, to be able to be competitive every Friday night when you play. And that means bringing players through. And and almost feeding yourself from your academy and having players ready to come through. Of course, you always have to add a bit of quality and a bit of experience around that. But the long-term plans for this club is to get to the Premier League, maintain there and be competitive in there. So, you know, there's new owners in that want to do that as well. So the whole club is aligned on that same path with the management team, the academy coaches, the head of academy and the new owners. We're all aligned in the same direction and we want to try and get this club back into the Premier League.
And just finally to ask you, first night of the season, it's nice to get a home game against Longford Town. How important is it to get a good start against them?
It's, of course, and everyone you're going to speak to here today will tell you that you want to win your first game and you want to get a good start. As you said, the good thing for us this year is to be home in the Carlisle grounds. It wasn't ready last year this time, so we had to play our first three or four games away from home on the road. So hopefully, and you know, with the crowd we've seen in Talca Park last year, the bright crowd, we hopefully that we can continue that momentum and get them back into the Carlisle in February when the league starts and get the big crowds in and get behind the team. Because, I mean, I said it after the final last year, you're going to see young players, hungry players, you're going to see attacking football, you're going to see goals, so you're going to be entertained. So, you know, we want the crowd to come back and join us on that journey, and that starts with Longford in the first game.
Listen, best of luck with it, Paul, and thanks for chatting to us.
Thanks very much. Cheers.